So today we're talking about a promise, rediscovering the promise of Easter. We've been going through the Gospel of Mark, and today we come across a promise. Jesus mentions it. You know, they've been questioning him, trying to trick him. They ask him about taxes. I didn't have to remind you of that, did I? And they ask him about marriage and heaven, all the kinds of, they're just trying to trick him. And then Jesus responds with this little statement in Mark 12, 35 through 37. While Jesus was teaching in the temple courts, he said, "How is it that the experts in the law say that Christ is David's son? David himself, by the Holy Spirit, said," now he's quoting from the Psalms, Jesus, "the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your foot. If David calls him Lord, how can this be his son?" And the large crowd was listening to him with delight. Lord, in the next few moments, captivate our hearts with your word. And I ask you, O God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, awaken faith, awaken hope, awaken the promise of Easter in our hearts. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You see, Jesus is trying to tell them who is standing before them. Who is? And he says to them, now remember, he's talking to the experts of the law. He's talking to people who know, who memorized more scripture probably than you will do in your lifetime. And that's not to mean, I'm just telling you, they put a priority on the word of God and memorizing and knowing the word of God. And Jesus, what do these scriptures mean? What do these scriptures mean? You see, Jesus here, for our information, is affirming the Old Testament. He's affirming its inspiration. He's affirming that you and I can rely on what is written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The Bible is not your ordinary book. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. In Jeremiah 23, God made a promise to David. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 16, it says this. This was God speaking to David. "Your house and your kingdom will stand before me permanently. Your dynasty will be permanent." Well, how's that going to be? Solomon came. They thought it was Solomon. Then all the kings that followed. And finally, the nation of Israel is driven into captivity. They come back. They lose their king. And it seems the promise is dead. In Jeremiah 23, verse 5, "I, the Lord, promise that a new time will certainly come when I will raise up for them a righteous branch, a descendant of David, and he will rule over them with wisdom and understanding and will do what is just and right in the land." And that righteous branch is Jesus. And he says, "I am the vine, and you are the branches. Abide in me, and you will bear much fruit." There was a kingdom coming because God made a promise to fulfill what he promised to David. In Jeremiah 33, 17 and 18, it says this, "For I, the Lord, promise, David will never lack a successor to occupy the throne over the nation of Israel. Nor will the Levitical priest ever lack someone to stand before me and continually offer up burnt offerings, sacrifice, cereal offerings, and offer the other sacrifices. Do you hear what God promised through Jeremiah? There is going to be a king who is a priest, and we know him as prophet, priest, and king, Jesus, the Son of God. God made a promise, and he brings it to pass in the pages of history, of the gospel. Hosea chapter 3, verse 5 says, afterward, the Israelites will turn and seek the Lord, their God, and their Davidic king. Then they will submit to the Lord in fear and receive his blessings in the future. You see, when you receive the promised king that came in the name of the Lord, you receive his blessings. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live without his blessings. I've walked through a few valleys. I don't want to live without his. I've walked through some valleys of the shadows of death. I don't want to miss his blessing. I need his comfort. I need his grace. I need his mercy to help me in my time of sorrow, in my time of need. It's a beautiful thing when you know the provision of heaven. Of heaven. You see, one greater than David was talking to the people that day. One greater than David was standing before them. One greater than David was walking among them. The Davidic promise was going to give way to the messianic majesty, glorified at the right hand of the Father. In the natural, it is impossible for David to have a son whom he calls Lord. But it was about to be on full display. The son of David would be now known and abandoned by the disciples, buried in a borrowed tomb. And he laid there 3 days. Disciples hid. They were afraid they were going to be next. The disciples hid. Silence. On the third day, glory to God. Come on the third day, he was declared to be the Son of God. Well, how do you know Jesus is the Son of God? Because he's not in a tomb. Amen. Paul put it this way in Romans chapter 1, verse 2. This gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his son, who was a descendant of David with reference to the flesh, who was appointed the Son of God in power according to the Holy Spirit by the resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Acts records it this way, Acts 13 and 28. Though they found no basis for the death sentence, they asked Pilate to have him executed. And when they had accomplished everything that was written about him, they took him down from the cross and placed him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. He did not do this for his benefit. He did it for you and I. God wants to have a relationship with you. And Paul continues in Romans 1:5. Through him, we have received grace. You know what grace is? You didn't deserve what God has done for you. You didn't deserve what God. We were sin. Held captive by sin. When Adam and Eve fell in the garden, it plunged us all. All our whole DNA was infected by sin. But Jesus comes, bears sin on the cross, and that's why he died. Death couldn't hold him, but he died because he took your sin. And the wages of sin is death. He took your sin, and they buried him in the tomb. But because he knew no sin, death could not hold him. And he was declared to be the Son of God. This means the power that raised Christ from the grave lives in those who believe. Are you a believer? Are you a believer? Yes. You see, he who descended also was resurrected. Philippians puts it this way. He humbled himself. He became obedient to the point of death, even the death on a cross. As a result, God exalted him and gave him a name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Glory to God. God's promise to those who believe. Who believe in Jesus. He promises to redeem you. He promised new life in him. He promises to forgive you. His gift is to take away the shame and guilt and condemnation. He promises to be your shepherd. He promises to be your comforter. He promises to be power to witness. He promises that you, when you've finished this race, we'll be with him in glory. My mother-in-law, her husband, Linda's father, 31 years, has been dead. She lost a son at the age of 16. She kept going. She kept believing. She kept holding on. And the other day, the promise was fulfilled. The place he prepared for her. Glory to God. In this life, we have hope because of the resurrection. I don't care what valley you've had to walk through. I don't care what kind of despair and agony you've had to go through. I know this. There is a resurrection. And there is a promise of Easter that he will take care of the future. Amen. He's good. This is Easter's promise. And you know what else? Easter guarantees he's coming again. He's coming again. Remember when Jesus left in Acts chapter 1? They're standing around. They went up and the disciples are just, that's probably what you'd be doing. I can't believe what I just seen. And then on the flip side of that, you're saying, why'd he leave us? I can't believe he left us. And then the angels come down. Men of Galilee. Men and women of Freedom Church. Why do you stand here looking up into the sky? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven, will come back. In the same way you've seen him leave, he's coming in clouds of glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. I believe the promise of Easter. I believe it. You see, Easter's promise is full of hope. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 puts it this way. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he gave us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That is, into an inheritance imperishable, undefiled, unfading. It is reserved for you in heaven. Glory to God. Anybody buy any new clothes for Easter? Huh? Anybody? Guess what? I hate to tell you this. They're going to fade. Hey, anybody ever bought a new car? It didn't stay new. Anybody, do you understand everything in this world? Fading. From the shoes to the clothes to the house, it's all fading. And the promise of Easter is there's a better day coming. There's a better hope in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Glory to God! I'm sorry to be a little personal here today, but we went up to the nursing home to load Miss Betty's stuff up, and it fit in the back of my truck in a little trailer. It's all she had. And I celebrated, because she didn't put her hope in the stuff and the junk of this world. Now, I don't mean to be disrespectful about your junk, but you need to put it in perspective. You ain't taking no U-Haul with you. You're going to leave it all behind. And you may have some children that they just going to pass the junk on. I'm just telling you. But what you possess in Him, the hope, the forgiveness, has an award for all eternity to live and reign with Him. I don't know what that means. I can't fathom what that means. But I know what the scripture says. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard what He's prepared for those who are called by His name, who love Him. Hallelujah! The promise of Easter. I'm going to read one more scripture to you today. You're surprised to get out here so early, aren't you? Psalm 111 talks about the character and nature of God. Listen to this. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. Why don't you stand with me, would you? Would you just stand right now? Listen, do you hear what he said? Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the godly and the congregation. I kind of like the way he qualifies that. There's the godly and then there's the congregation. I hope you're a part of the godly. But nevertheless, the praise is not determined by the people around you. The praise is determined by who we're praising. The Lord's deeds are great, eagerly awaited by all who desire them. I don't know about you, but I have found the Lord's deeds great in my life. When I walk through hard times, He's been there to lift me up. When I needed something, His provision to show up, showed up. Never forget those moments where He showed up. The deeds are great, eagerly awaited by all those. His work is majestic and glorious, and His faithfulness endures forever. He does amazing things that will be remembered. That's exactly why we're here today. He did an amazing thing when He raised His son from the grave. And it's going to be remembered throughout eternity. It's one of the hinges of history. You can't talk about history. And if you miss the resurrection, because the resurrection turns it all around and gives us a promise that can never be taken away by what's going on in this world. Huh? He does amazing things that will be remembered. The Lord is merciful and compassionate. Would you just thank Jesus? Would you just thank Jesus right now? Would you just thank Him for His faithfulness over your life? Would you just thank Him for this Easter morning? For being good to you? Listen, you may have had to walk through some deep valleys, but I know this. If it wasn't for His care, if it wasn't for His promise, if it wasn't for His work, there's something beautiful about the love and the mercy of God that never gives up on you, on me. He's good that way. And if you don't know the Lord, if you have not placed your faith in Him, I would encourage you, believe the promise. That this Jesus, who was sown in weakness, raised in power, will one day come again. And that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that He is Lord. Praise His name. Would you worship Him right now? Would you give Him praise?
There's a love that lives in me.
God to help me, because I need to find Jesus. Would you just raise your hand? I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray with you. Anybody? Yes, yes, yes. Praise God. Praise God. Let me pray for you. Let me pray for everybody in this room right now. Lord, I thank you for everybody here on this Easter morning. I thank you, Lord, for the promise of Easter goes way beyond every day, every step we take. And God, there are those who are wanting to know God, I ask right now the power of your Holy Spirit would just lead them and guide them and direct them and bless them. As you draw them unto yourself by the work of your word and the Holy Spirit, may they come to a place of the promise of Easter fulfilled in their lives. God, bless them. And God, I pray for every family in this room, Lord, that your hand of favor and blessing be upon them. God, may you show up. May you show up as provider, as healer, as savior in their life. Thank you, Lord, for this Easter day. Thank you, Lord, for the promise fulfilled. Thank you, Lord, for being all that we need, all of our life, all of eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. Listen, if you raise your hand and need a little help, Stephen's right over here. He's got a little book for you. We'd love for you to give him a little information to help you on your journey. Remember, live in the Spirit, grow in truth, and love one another. Happy Easter!